Hello everyone, hello. This year is dedicated Lili Nishmas, Rachelea, Bas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. We're entering the time period now of the 3 weeks called Yemei HaMetzarim, Bein HaMetzarim, between Shiva Sheva Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So I want to discuss some aspects of our Avelus, our mourning over Yerushalayim and Churban Beis HaMikdash, and as we develop this discussion about Yerushalayim, what Yerushalayim is all about, that will lead into a beautiful presentation of Rav Nevensal Shlita about the Kedushas Yerushalayim and this uniqueness of Yerushalayim and what it means for us, based on an analysis of the Parasha of Benos Tzavchad in the Chumash. Okay, so let's start with our discussion of Avelus over Yerushalayim. So I'll be using mostly, there's a wonderful sefer called Hagione Halacha by Rav Mirsky Shlita, and he has an essay on Yerushalayim, and that's in the source sheets, and we'll be using his sefer. Okay. It's interesting, the Gemara in Meseches Tainis and elsewhere says, "Whosoever misabel on Yerushalayim, whoever is in mourning over Yerushalayim, zoche veroa besimchata, he merits and he sees in its happiness." So it's striking, and the Mefarshim stop on this, that zoche is present tense, and roa is present tense. It doesn't say yiske veyire besimchata. It doesn't say whoever is mourning will merit and will see Binyan Habayis. It says zoche veroe besimchata. It's there in the fourth line, in the first of the source sheets of the sources. Kol misabel Yerushalayim zoche veroe besimchata. So the various Achronim asked about this. It said instead of saying zoche veroe besimchata b'lashon hove, hayat tzarich lomar yiske veyire besimchata b'lashon asid. It's very interesting. Why is it present tense? Okay. There's another idea, which is that we find that Tisha B'Av is referred to as a moed. We find this in Eicha. It's referred to as a moed. Now, the word moed, normally, you know, the Yom Tovs are called moed. It's interesting that the term moed is used for Tisha B'Av as well. What's the idea? Well, here he quotes here the language. He says, we find in the posting of Tisha B'Av, the day that we're Mesabel on Yerushalayim, is also called Moed. Well, you know, based on the Psukim. So how is it a Moed? Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year. So this is also a question. What's the shot of Moed regarding Tisha B'Av? Well, so he says as follows. He quotes here from the Achronim the following idea. We find by Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov was informed of that Yosef was Tarof Taraf, he was attacked by the animals. So Yaakov, in a sense, will. So it's interesting that Yaakov was in Avelus, but he was never fully comforted. He was never fully comforted. Why? Why wasn't he fully comforted? So the Mefarshim quote a Medrash, it's here in the sources. The Mefarshim quote a Medrash, it's here at the bottom of the first column of the first source. Heshev Rav Yosef Yomar, Misnachamim al Hamesim, Vein Misnachamim al Chayim. A person is comforted when he's in Avelus over a relative who actually is dead. But if he's actually alive, he will never be fully comforted. That's what the Medrash says. And that's why the Medrash says Yaakov was never fully comforted. The Mefarshim explain as follows. You know, that at a certain point, being in Avelus for so long, it's not healthy for a person. You want to move on and accomplish, and somehow if you're always thinking about the Avelus. So Hashem gives us, in a sense, a bracha, that Hashem puts shichcha, he puts forgetfulness into the world, that a person might forget. And therefore, it's forgotten enough, the Avelus is forgotten enough, that a person is able to move forward and to function and to keep on producing in his avodas Hashem, Oh, but if the person who you think is dead is really alive, then there's really no purpose for, there's really no purpose to forget. Adarabba, Hashem wouldn't want you to totally forget, because if it's not forgotten, then you're still thinking about the departed person, and there's a better chance in the future, maybe something will come up, maybe something will happen, and the person will, you'll be able to search for the person. If something crazy happens, it turns out the person's really alive. So this is how the Mefarshim explain, it's the Medrash, we're explaining the Medrash. The Mefarshim say that Hashem gives us this bracha of Yeush, of forgetting. Because you have to be able to move on and continue to accomplish, and that's after, let's say, 12 months. But if the person is still alive, then you're not going to have full avelus. That's what the Medrash says. That's the pshat by Yaakov Avinu. Now it's very interesting. And the Mefarshim discussed this with a side point with Yaakov. You see, if Yaakov knew this rule, that a person never receives full comfort if someone is really alive, then he should have known that Yosef was really alive. So how do you fit this into the pshat of the psukim? The Mefarshim discussed that. Some say this is when it became known. Some say this is the pshat. This is when it became known, this idea, through the story with Yaakov. Yaakov didn't know this rule, but the rule was revealed to the world through Yaakov, and others give different pshatim. That's an interesting question that Farshim discuss. How exactly does this medrash fit in with the pshat of the psukim? Did Yaakov really, really think that Yosef was not alive? Because one place he says he was mace, or it's a little unclear. But that's the medrash, that's the yesod, that Yaakov Avinu didn't fully forget about Yosef. He never took full comfort. He was never comforted about the mourning from Yosef, because Yosef was still alive. So based on this, the Achronim say the following idea. They say the following idea. The fact that we're in Avelus now, this year, over the Churban Habayis, there is a kernel of Simcha. There is something positive within that Avelus. The fact that we're in Avelus shows that we don't believe that the concept of Yerushalayim HaBenuya is Rachmano Litzlan, it's dead. No. It's dormant. And the very fact that we're still in Avelus shows we're not Messiahish. And in a certain level, it's still alive. It is alive. The concept is alive, and our belief in it is still alive, and it's dormant. It's not that it's dead, it's dormant. Right now, it's not here in front of us. But because we still have this Avelus, because we're not comforted, that exactly reflects that we know it's still there, and it's going to come back. It's not totally gone, it's going to come back. This is what he quotes here. This is what he quotes here. He says, "Ha'evel al Yerushalayim, hamitareb nafshoteinu, ve'eino pag. It's not worn out. Meshav kol kach harbe doros, mora al amitas tikvateinu. The truth of our hope for the future. V'simanu she'atida Yerushalayim l'shuv eleinu. It's going to come back. If it was gone forever, if a person is dead, you forget about it. Eventually, the avelus wears off. But it's not dead. It's dormant." And therefore, the fact that we're in Avelus is a kernel of Simcha. It's going to come back. We're going to get back to Yerushalayim HaBenuya. Oh. Therefore, that's the pshat, why it's called a moed. Because the very fact that we're Mis'abel reflects that there will definitely be a Geula, and it's going to come back, because it was never totally... gone. He quotes here, Al-Derech Mor Kabbalah, there's the Yerushalayim up HaBenuya Lamayla, just waiting to come back down. But it's not dead, it's dormant. And that's the mashal that Yaakov didn't think, if you think the person's mom is dead, so then eventually you forget and move on. But if you think the person's alive, you never get nechama. Oh. And this is a beautiful diuk. The language is not that if you're misabel on Yerushalayim, then in the future you will see something. No. Even now, you're zoche v'ro b'simchasa. The fact that right now a person is in Avelus means He is zoche tero, that it's there. It's not. It's dormant. It's not dead. It's going to come back. I have full confidence it's going to come back. And therefore, there's that kernel of simcha even now. And that's why the language of Chazal is present tense and not future tense. Oh, this is what Rav Mirsky quotes from the Mefarshim. It's mamish, a very beautiful. It's a very beautiful idea that being in Avelus itself is a simon, that we have this full confidence it's going to come back. If something's totally gone and it's mamash gone forever, so you wouldn't have that. You wouldn't have that that same avelus. They tell a story about Napoleon. That's what they tell, that he was going through and he heard he was walking by a shul and he heard Jews crying on Tisha B'Av, and he said, "What are they crying about?" So apparently he was told they're crying over the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash and Churban of Yerushalayim. And Napoleon said, "If a nation can be crying 1800, around 2,000 years after the destruction of the temple, of the Beis Hamikdash, there's a good chance it's going to get it back one day, and they're going to come back. If they can still be crying now, it's exactly this idea." Oh. Rav Mirsky quotes another vort from Rav Yaakov Emden along the same lines. You know, we say in our davening, we say in the benching, Rachem no, Al Yushalayim Yirecha, B'Al Abayis HaGadol V'HaKadosh, Hashem, have mercy. Present tense. Hashem, have mercy on the Beis Hamikdash, on Yerushalayim. It's a little strange to ask Hashem to have mercy on something which doesn't exist. It says Yerushalayim Yerucha. It says Abayis HaGadol V'HaKadosh. If it's not there, what are you having mercy on? That's the question. He says, he quotes here in Rav Mirsky quotes, Harayein HaDerech, it's not the norm, Levakesh Rachamim, to ask for mercy, Al Davar Shecholach Davar Ve'inenu, it's gone. What are you asking mercy on? There's nothing here. You can daven to bring it back, but mercy means sounds like mercy now. He says, the answer is, no. Be'emes Ba'kosh Es Rachamim Hi Alakayam, Ki Yerushalayim Ve'simidash Go Batu. They're not totally gone. In Gashmis, physically we don't see them. Mikol makom, mitziyutan ha'atzmi, ha'amiti, hein omdin berum olam. The Kedusha is still there. It's waiting in time. It's waiting to be brought back down. But the yesod of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and of the Beis Hamikdash, it's there. It's dormant now. We're waiting for the day that it's going to come back here in the more Gashmis way. But it's exactly the same idea. We're asking for mercy on it now because on one level, it still exists. It's here. And that's what we're thinking about on Tisha B'Av, that it's not, this is something gone from history. No, physically it's gone, but we believe it's here, the Ruchni is there, the Ruchni's potential is here, and it will definitely come back, and that's the pshat of our tefillos, that it's present tense, very interesting, about Rachim on present tense. Oh. So this is the idea of the Avelus on Yerushalayim, the present tense. Okay. Next, the name Yerushalayim. There's very interesting makaros. There are very interesting makaros about the name of Yerushalayim, where it comes from and what it signifies. Oh. So the Medrash, this is on the second page of the Hachana sheets. The Medrash describes where the name Yerushalayim comes from. The name Yerushalayim originally is a combination of two names. Oh, it's a Medrash in Brachos Rabbah, Parsha Nunvav. It quotes as follows. Originally, Avraham Avinu called Yerushalayim the name Yireh. Yireh. Behar Hashem Yireh. Yud Resh Aleph Hey. Yireh Yireh. That name. Okay. Shem Ben Noach called Yerushalayim Shalem. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Chazal tell us that Malki Tzedek was Shem. So therefore, The Melech of Tzedek was Shem. He called it Shalem. So you have the name Yireh, Yireh, Yud Resh Aleph Hey. You have the name Shalem. Those are the two names given to Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is a combination of those two names, the names of Avram and the names of Shem. That's what the Medrash says, that they combine the names, and that's where we get the name. That's where we get the name Yerushalayim. Aye, Taka, if that's true, then how come the Yireh part comes first? Why it should be the opposite? Shem came before Avram Avinu. So the Mefarshim and the Medrash say that Avram was a greater tzaddik. And therefore, the name of Yerushalayim should start with Avram's. The first half should be Avram's name. You know, Yira before Shalem. Also, I was just thinking that in all the famous songs about Yerushalayim, Shalmeiru wouldn't fit as well as Yerushalayim. So that might be another reason why we use the name Yerushalayim and not Shalmeiru. But okay. And the Medrash says because Avram was a greater tzaddik than Shem. Okay. Now, the Mefarshim and the Medrash say an interesting idea. This is interesting. So if it's Yira and Shalem, so where does Yerushalayim come from? So Yira is Yud Resh Aleph Hey. Aleph Hey together, Begematra is 6. Which is a vav. So that's what happened. Yiroi and Shalem, the name flows better with a vav versus an aleph. And the vav is really the aleph. It's the gematria of the same letter. So that's Yerushalayim's name. Yiroi with Shalem, the aleph hey of Yiroi becomes a vav, and that's Yerushalayim. That's what the Manos Kuna says, a perush on the Medrash. Oh. And this also explains very well, the following idea. Yerushalayim in Tanakh is almost always spelled chaser, without the second vav. When we pronounce Yerushalayim, we say Yerushalayim. So we would spell it in Hebrew, Yud Resh Vav, Shin Lamed, Yud Mem, Yerushalayim. But in Tanakh, in almost all the places, Yerushalayim is spelled without the second Yud. It's called chaser. There are a few places where it's spelled with the Yud. I'll mention in a minute what some of Rishim say, but it's without a yud. Why? So Rav Mirsky quotes from Tosfos in Maseches Tainis. This is why Yerushalayim originally was built from the words Yeroeh with Shalem. There's no yud in Shalem. Malkitzedek Melech Shalem. So when the word was formed, the Aleph became the Vav fine, and the end of the word stayed the same. Shin Lamed Mem. That's the original source of the name Yerushalayim, and that's why it's written Chaser in most of Tanakh. We'll have another reason in a second, but that's why it's written Chaser in most of Tanakh. Yerushalayim without the second Yud. That's the name Yerushalayim. There's a whole discussion, a very fascinating discussion, that in the places where Tanakh mentions Yerushalayim Mole with a Yud, with the second Yud, those psukim are discussing Liasid Lavo when they rebuild the Beis Hamikdash and the full beauty of Yerushalayim. So that's an interesting topic to look into. We're not going to do it right now. That's an interesting topic to work on. That the few places in Tanakh where Yerushalayim is spelled Male with the second Yud, those places are referring to the future. The full beauty of Yerushalayim, Bimos HaMashiach, that's a very nice, but that's not for now. Okay. So this is the name Yerushalayim. Now it's interesting that Yerushalayim really had a nickname, really, of tzedek, righteousness, tzedekim. Already from the beginning, what is Yerushalayim called? Malki tzedek, melech shalem. That's what the pasuk says in Parshas Lechucha. Malki tzedek, the king of tzedek, melech shalem. So you see that the name tzedek, the word tzedek, is associated with Yerushalayim. So there's this concept that already from the beginning, this connection with being a tzaddik, being a righteous person, is linked up to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim somehow from the very beginning had this quality of ruchnius, that somehow from the very beginning, the name, the nickname of Yerushalayim was tzedek. That's the name that it was called. That there's this connection of being a tzaddik and being in Yerushalayim itself. Oh. Very interesting idea. Okay. So Yerushalayim has the name Yerushalayim, Yeroi and Shalem together, that we discussed. The Aleph Hey becomes the Vav. Yerushalayim is called Tzedek, from the word Tzadik. Okay. And we know that a third name associated with Yerushalayim is on Har HaMoriah. Moriah means from teaching, Horah, Torah, the place of Torah. And Yerushalayim has always been a place associated from the very beginning with Torah, with the learning of Torah. That's the name, Har HaMoriah, HaMoriah. Moriah, Mor means to teach Torah. Paskin Shilas, teach Torah. That's the name of Yerushalayim. That from the beginning, there was this connection of Talmud Torah, being a tzaddik, with Yerushalayim. There are different opinions where exactly the yeshiva of Shein Be'Ever was. So some say that the yeshiva was in Yerushalayim itself. Already from the beginning, that was in Yerushalayim. That there are different opinions about. So this is a third angle on Yerushalayim. It's a place that always has been a makom of Torah And this will lead into the next part of the shiur, that the avelus over Yerushalayim is the avelus over losing this ruchnius heart of the Jewish people, the heart, the essence of Eretz Yisrael, and the essence of Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim. That the heart of Am Yisrael, the ruchnius heart of Am Yisrael is Yerushalayim. That we see from the name Har Moriah, the place of Torah. This is a famous idea that is mentioned in Tosfos and Baba Basra, Daf Kaf Aleph, and picked up on by many of the later Mefarshim. The idea is as follows. The Torah is describing about eating Maaser Sheni. What is Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni is that in some years during the years of the Shemitah, you give Maaser Rishon, you give the Maaser, and then a second tenth is Maaser Sheni. This Maaser, you separate from your produce, and you eat it yourself. But you don't eat it in your farm. If you have a farm out in Eretz Yisrael somewhere, you have to take the produce to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. It's difficult sometimes to transfer the fruits and the produce to Yerushalayim. So what the Mishnayos talk about is that you would transfer the kedusha of the, you would transfer the status of the Maaser Sheni from the produce onto money. And that money was brought to Yerushalayim. And then in Yerushalayim, you would buy food with that money. And you would eat the money. You would eat the food in Yerushalayim. So that way, in a sense, you're consuming your Maaser Sheni money from the Maaser Sheni produce in Yerushalayim. So a Jew would, in a sense, be forced to go to Yerushalayim and spend time there consuming and eating either the Maaser Sheni produce itself or the money from the Maaser, using the money to buy things, the Maaser Sheni. Very interesting. Well, that's in the Torah. Why? What's the idea of Maaser Sheni? Well, so when the Torah describes when the Torah describes the eating of Maaser Sheni, the Torah says, Leman Tilmad, in order to learn Tefir Vashem. The Torah says the reason why you're eating Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim is in order to have fear of Hashem on the person. So that's what the Pesukim talk about. It's in Devarim, Perek Yudalev. L'man Tilmad L'yiras Hashem Okecha Kol HaYamim. So what's the connection? What's the Pesukim? What's the connection between Maaser Sheni and learning fear of Hashem? So Tosfos says in Baba Basra Daf Kaf Aleph, that this is what would happen. That a Jew would come to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim was where the Sanhedrin was. The 71 leading gedolim of the Jewish people. And they would each have yeshivas. A person would come to Yerushalayim. They'd be near the Makom HaMikdash. They would be exposed to the Avodas HaMikdash, the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. They'd be exposed to the Torah, all these big yeshivas in Yerushalayim. And by going to Yerushalayim, a person's Yiras Hashem was affected. It was almost natural. There's a wonderful sefer by Rabbi Ari Kaplan, Zatzah, called Jerusalem, Eye of the Universe. He quotes Makoros that it was not uncommon that you come to Yerushalayim with your Maaser Sheni, food, or with the money to eat Maaser Sheni. What would you do there? You'd enroll in yeshiva, and that's it. They'd go to yeshiva for a week or two, and Yerushalayim. Wonderful thing. And That's Yerushalayim. That's the koach of Yerushalayim. From the very beginning, Yerushalayim, the place of tzaddik, the place of tzedek, Har Moriah, Horah, Torah, the place of ruchnius. Yerushalayim has this koach. It's the center of ruchnius in the Jewish world. And you come to Yerushalayim, and you're exposed, and it affects you. And you learn Yerushalayim. You learn Yerushalayim. People do this nowadays. It's a very good idea. People do this nowadays. If a person spends time in Israel, in yeshiva and seminary, then he has a break from whatever he's doing back in the Western world, comes back to visit, go back to yeshiva, back to seminary for a few weeks. It's a very good way to recharge one mamash. That's exactly what we're talking about in the Torah. We don't have Maaser Sheni in that way from Chutz Laaretz. But the exact same concept, the exact same concept. I know people that, working balabatim, and they organize their schedule to have 10 days off during Elul, to come to Yerushalayim to learn in yeshiva for 10 days. That's exactly this idea, and they use it to recharge the batteries for the year. So this is the name Yerushalayim, where it came from, the nickname Tzedek, of the Ruchnius of Yerushalayim, and Haramuria Hora Torah, Yerushalayim, the center Torah, the center of Ruchnius, and we see that from the halachas of Ma'aser Sheni. So Yerushalayim represents the makom of Ruchnius, Torah learning, tzidkus within Am Yisrael. Therefore, when we're in Aveilus over Yerushalayim, we have to remember this nekuda. We're in Aveilus over Yerushalayim and Aveilus over the Beis Hamikdash. We have to remember that our Aveilus is about the true, the essence of Yerushalayim. The Ruchnius, that's what we're missing here. And this is an idea which Rav Nevensol Shlita develops at great length in his Sefer, which we'll discuss now, based on this parsha of Benos Schafchad, and from here we can develop an approach to the true Aveilus we're supposed to be having nowadays over Yerushalayim. Rav Nevensol has, in the last few years, been writing a series of Svarim called Yerushalayim b'Mo'adeha, Yerushalayim and its Mo'adim, the special days. He has one on Pesach and one on Shavuos, and he has one on the 3 weeks. There are more that are coming out, that's the plan. So in his Sefer on the 3 weeks, he has an essay called Chibat Haaretz, the desire, the love of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And he, starting from Benos Schafchad, from that analysis, he develops an approach to what the Aveilus, what we're supposed to be having Aveilus over here in during this time of the year. So he says as follows. The Parsha of Benos Schafchad is mentioned in the Chumash in Bamidbar, Perek of Zion. What exactly happened with Benos Schafchad? So Benos Schafchad, so Schafchad was the father. He didn't have any sons. So there's a whole question about the Yerusha. Again, this is a whole discussion in the Gemara, in the Mefarshim, but the Yerusha normally, the inheritance, the inheritance normally goes through the son. So they were concerned that their father's inheritance, without a son, where's it going to go? And maybe the father's inheritance would be lost from the family. So they came to ask Moshe Rabbeinu this question. Well, so Chazal tells us, and Rashi quotes, that from the placement of Benos Schafchad in the Chumash, we see an interesting idea, an important idea, of their love for Eretz Yisrael. That the Chumash is contrasting Benos Schafchad, and really more broadly, the women of the Bnei Yisrael in general, with the Dor HaMidbar. The entire Dor HaMidbar, the Dor, because of Chayta Meraglim, almost all the Jews of that generation were killed. There were some exceptions, Kalev and Yehoshua, but they all were killed. There's not one who survived. Those who were above the age of 20, they when Chayta Meraglim happened, they died. And in contrast, the Torah says, no, Benos Schafchad, they had a chiba for the Eretz. They wanted Eretz Yisrael. They were concerned about their father's Yerusha, their father's portion in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why they came forward to Moshe. So this is Rashi here, at the end of Perek Kaf Vav. The Torah here mentions, Uve'el lo haye ish mi pekudei Moshe v'aron ha-kohen ha-shepoktu, etc. Moshe musu, v'lo narsem em ish. No one survived. So the Torah mentions, the Torah counts Bnei Yisrael, Hashem counts Bnei Yisrael in Parshas Pinchas. And then it says, and the ones that were counted, none of the ones from the original Dor Midbar were there. They all died out. In contrast to the women, Benos Schafchad, Rashi says, Abal al Hanashim, lo nigzer gzeres hamaraglim. The women didn't have the gzeres hamaraglim. Lufi shen hayim b'chavos es ha'aretz. They held the land precious, Rashi writes. The men said, Nitzna Rosh Nashuva Mitzrayimah. And the women said, Tanalana Achuza, give us an Achuza. That was the Benos Schafchad. V'chach Nischa Parshas Benos Schafchad Dekan. So the Parsha of Benos Schafchad is representative of their love of the preciousness of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it's mentioned, here. Okay. Now, it's interesting though. It's interesting. Because the Benos Schafchad, this was a Yerusha. And, you know, it was the father's inheritance. So Rav Nevensol points out, how does this really teach the love of Eretz Yisrael? What if the Yerusha was something else? They also would have wanted it. They didn't want to lose the Yerusha from the family, from themselves or from the family, that the Yerusha should go elsewhere. Rav Nevensol writes, he writes, He says, how do we know that this shows the chiba, the chiba of the Eretz. Maybe if it was something else as well, they would have wanted the Yerusha. So Nevin Saul says, first, for example, what if it was metaltolin? What if it was metaltolin? What if it was, you know, it was some other Yerusha, not the land? Maybe they would have asked for it as well. So he gives a simple pshat, then he gives a deeper pshat. The simple pshat is the language. The language is tnalanu achuza b'toch achay avinu. The word achuza means that they dafka wanted that special inheritance as the part of achay avinu, the dafka the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. That somehow the language of achuza in the Torah is a hint that they were coming in order to have that, not just whatever inheritance happened to that the father was leaving for them, but the special inheritance of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's a simple pshat, but he gives a deeper pshat based on Chazal, which is, and Rashi quotes this as well, that Chazal say that Bnos Chafchad came to speak to Moshe at the right time. They spoke to Moshe when he was discussing the laws of Yibum. And somehow, since they came, and Chazal praised Bnos Chafchad, since they came to Moshe when he was discussing the laws of Yibum, that somehow teaches us that's something significant about Bnos Chafchad. So if Nevin Saul thinks that is where you can see a deeper idea that they were interested in Dafka and the Chiba, the love of Eretz Yisrael. What's the pshat? It says as follows. Taka, what is the connection between what Bnos Chafchad are doing and Yibum? What's pshat in Chazal? Why is that the right time to come and speak to Moshe? Rav Nevin Saul explains that one of the main themes of Yibum is to keep alive and add to the ruchnius, the ilui for the neshama of the person who died. If a person, Rachmana Litzlan, he dies without children, so then the brother marries the almana, marries the widow. And the Torah says, he has children, so they go on the first child goes on the name of the person who was nifter. What's the idea? So Rav Nevin Saul quotes from Narman and others, it's in order to be an ilui neshama for the person who died. But it's a tikkun. What's the idea? He said that you want to make a tikkun, that this person should have a chance, that through his wife, there's more of a continuation of Am Yisrael and more ruchnius, a person who's born and does mitzvahs in Am Yisrael, that shows and that adds to the ruchnius level of the person who died. Oh. He said, whatever the person wasn't able to do when he was alive in ruchnius, so we try to keep it going through his son. So Abnevin Saul says that since Chazal say that they praise Bnos Chafchad, that they raised their issue at the same time Moshe Rabbeinu was discussing Yibum, it shows that they were concerned with the ruchnius continuation of their father, that their father had land in Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to be able to use the land for ruchnius, for mitzvos, and it should be an ilui for the neshama of their father. And just like the Ramban says by Yibum, that one idea of Yibum is, that is a hard concept, but the Ramban says, one idea of Yibum is that through the parsha of Yibum, it becomes an ilui for the neshama, for the father, for the husband who died, that there's a son born on his name and he serves Hashem well. So too, that's what they were interested in. They were interested in, and that's the Chibas Haaretz of Nemetzal now develops, that they were interested in the ruchnius aspect of Eretz Yisrael. If it was a car, if it was something else, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for the Chibas Haaretz, the special Kedush of Eretz Yisrael, and that their father should have a way that his descendants, his direct descendants, use Eretz Yisrael in the right way for ruchnius, for the ruchnius growth, similar to Yibum. Oh, that's what he says. He says, the Iker tikkun for the Nishmas HaNiftar, they understood, sheyikablu chayuk Eretz Yisrael, avodas Hashem. He said, chayuk Yisrael, avodas Hashem. This is what Bnos Chafchad were thinking about. Oh, it's a beautiful idea. Rav Nevin Saul then quotes a very important Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra talks about in Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel, Vayikan es Chelkas Hasoda. Oh, that when Yaakov bought the Chelkas Hasoda, the Torah emphasizes he bought the Soda. What's special that he bought the Soda? So the Ibn Ezra says that whoever buys a chelk of Eretz Yisrael, nechshav ki'ilu kanu chelk olam haba. It's like he bought a chelk of olam haba. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. A very striking language, a very powerful language. Rav Nemetzal quotes from the Ibn Ezra that when you buy land in Eretz Yisrael, it's like you're getting a chelk of olam haba. What's the pshat? Rav Nemetzal says the pshat is that Eretz Yisrael is the place with the best potential for ruchnius, for avodas Hashem ruchnius, and that's like getting chelk of olam haba. You get the potential to serve Hashem in the best way here in Eretz Yisrael. So this is what Benos Chafchad wanted. It's a very, very important idea. Rav Nemetzal then goes on to develop. You know, what are we focusing on when we talk about the uniqueness of Eretz? What are we in Avelus over? That we lost the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael and when it was built up and with Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. What are we focusing on? You know, a person can sometimes have a superficial understanding of something. He talks about, you know, like how a child views his father. When a child's little, he views his father in one way. His father sometimes helps out his mother and taking care of the kids. But he doesn't understand what his father does. Then he gets older and he realizes that his father goes out to work a lot. He's out and working a lot. Then he gets older. His father may be the one who supports the family. So as the child gets older, he has a deeper and deeper understanding of what his own father does. That's the mashal which he gives. And he says, so you talk about Eretz Yisrael. So Ibn Ezra talks about Eretz Yisrael, you can have a superficial understanding of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. For example, Eretz Yisrael, physically it's a beautiful country. There's a beautiful coastline. That's true. And it has a wonderful climate. He quotes, the Kuzari points out, Eretz Yisrael has a climate. It's not. It doesn't get so cold, and it doesn't get so hot with humidity. It doesn't get so hot, even if it's very hot, it's without the humidity. So the extremes in Eretz Yisrael are less than other countries, and it's a more pleasant climate. So Ibn Ezra says that's true, and we should appreciate that. But that's superficial. That's not what we should be focusing on when we talk about our avelus of Eretz Yisrael, avelus over Churban Yerushalayim. It's not the physical. It's the ruchnius. Eretz Yisrael is the place where a Jew can do the mitzvos in the best way. Rav Nemetzal quotes from the famous Ramban that the Ramban says, and Rashi says it as well, that when a Jew does mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael, a person gets more schar. Rav Nemetzal's language is it's more of a mitzvah amitis. It's more of a true mitzvah doing mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael than a chutzchar. And you get more schar for the same mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael as a chutzchar. You get more schar for the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. It's a whole different way of, it's a whole different level of Avodas Hashem. Rav Nemetzal takes this idea very seriously. He says something, not here, he says something incredible in his parish on the Mishnah. Rav Nemetzal writes, let's say a man is chayav to say Shema. Okay. So a man says Shema on the airplane when he's over the Mediterranean or over Europe as he's flying to Eretz Yisrael. And he gets to Israel in the morning and it's still within the Zman of Kriya Shema. It's early in the morning. Rav Nemetzal writes in his Mishnah Berurah, he has a suffix, maybe he should say Shema again. It's amazing. What's the idea? Since a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael is a better mitzvah, it's a different mitzvah, maybe do it again if you have a chance in the better way. That's what he writes. So this, and Rav Nemetzal writes, this is what the Chazal are hinting. This is what Benos Chafchad wanted. They wanted the ruchnius of Eretz Yisrael. The Chibas Haaretz means the chiba of the real Eretz Yisrael, the essential Eretz Yisrael, the ruchnius of Eretz Yisrael. And that's the connection to Yibum, where Yibum is about the ruchnius continuation of the person who died without children. Rav Nemetzal has a diuk. His diuk is, what's the language that Benos Chafchad used when they speak to Moshe? The language is Lama Nigara. Why should there be any lesson to the language of Yigara? That's the language which they use. Why should it be lessened? Where do we find a parallel language of Lama Yigara? We find it by Pesach Sheni. The Jews who were Tame, when the Karban Pesach was offered, came to Moshe and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, why should we be any less off? Why should we have anything less in our Avodas Hashem and our Ruchnius? So Rav Nemetzal thinks it's not a coincidence that by Benos Chafchad, the Torah uses the same root, the same verb, the same word, as by Pesach Sheni. By Pesach Sheni, Chazal tells us it was a good thing, that they came and they said, we want to have the Ruchnius, we want to have Avodas Hashem as well. So just like by Pesach Sheni, when it was clear that the group that came to Moshe, they wanted the Ruchnius, they didn't want to lose out, they wanted to have as much as they could, the same Ruchnius as the rest of Am Yisrael had, They lamanikar. Why should we have anything less than the rest of Am Yisrael? So by Benos Chafa, they use the same language, lamayigara, to teach us that's what they were interested in. They wanted the ruchnius of Eretz Yisrael for to go on the ilu neshama for their father. This is Benos Chafrad. So according to Rav Neventhal, this is a beautiful idea. Benos Chafrad are teaching us what it means to have a love for Eretz Yisrael. It's the love for the true Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael, that's the makam for ruchnius, the makam for the ultimate religious growth. As the Ramban says, the mitzvahs here are on a different level than in Chutz Laretz. And that's what you can learn from Benos Chafrad. So extrapolating from there, Rav Neventhal says, let's take that over and apply it to our avelus over Churban Yerushalayim and Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, that's what we have to be thinking about, right? We have to be thinking about now, during the time of the 3 weeks, what it means to have lost. What are we going to avelus over? The Churban of Yerushalayim and the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Neventhal starts giving a list here. Number one, we're misabel on the Beis HaMikdash, which is the makam of Avodas Hashem, the ultimate Avodas Hashem, Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. That's number one. Number two, Ein Lanos and Hezron Gedola, Belishkas HaGozis. Oh, we don't have the Sanhedrin. The Paschal, all the heaviest Shilas, and they were sitting up on the Harabayas. Number three, Malchus Beis David, which is the Malchus Ruchanit that would help bring to Avodas Hashem. If you had a king who was doing being a king the right way, it adds more to Avodah Hashem for Am Yisrael. That's a third thing that we're missing since we've lost, since we've had Churban HaBayis. Well, that's what Rav Neventhal writes. These are things that we should be thinking about. Well, and then he quotes the fourth thing, which I mentioned earlier, is Yerushalayim being the center of Torah. We lost that chance to come and recharge our batteries here. And he quotes, again, this is where he quotes the Tosfos and Baba Basra. The people in the Dayanim, the Gedolim, who were in the Sanhedrin, they had their yeshivas here. This was the makam of Torah, to come back and recharge the Ruchni's batteries, the idea of achieving Yiras Hashem. So when we're thinking about what are we in Avelus over, we're in Avelus now. What are we in Avelus over? We're in Avelus over losing the true Yerushalayim, the true Beis HaMikdash. It's a makam. Our whole ruchnias of Avodah Hashem would be on a whole different level. And that's what we should be thinking about and crying about during this time of the year and asking Hashem to help bring it back. It's very nice. It's very nice that nowadays, it is very nice. It's tremendous. And Rabbi Kaplan speaks about this in his book on Yerushalayim, that we've seen the beginning. That compared to 80 years ago, the yeshivas that we have in Yerushalayim, it's wonderful compared to 80 years ago. And we've begun to see the idea of Yerushalayim being a place, the center of Torah, where you come and you can have this experience along the lines of what Tosfos talks about by Meister Sheni. But it's not the real thing. So Rav Neventhal explains that we should learn the Parsha of Benos Chafrad, and we should see what they were focused on. They were focused on the ruchnius angles of Eretz Yisrael, what you can grow in ruchnius from Eretz Yisrael, and we have to take from that and apply it to our avelus over Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. We shouldn't be focused on the wrong things. We have to be focused on the essential aspects and the Kedusha, the Ruchnias, the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Malchus Beis David. That is what we should be focusing on now in our experience of Avelus during the time of the 3 weeks. Well, so just to review, we really discussed a few points. Number one, we discussed the idea that the avelus we have over Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, there is a kernel of simcha in it. Why? Because the fact that we're an avelus over it shows we haven't given up. It's not totally forgotten. A person, after 12 months, Hashem has a bracha of shichacha. A person forgets about the avelus to a certain degree. But if the person's alive still, like by Yosef, you're never comforted. So we believe the Kedusha, it's still alive and it's dormant, but it's alive, waiting for it to come back. And that's why the language in the Gemara is present tense. Not we hope in the future to get it back, but we see it right now. And that's why Tisha B'Av is called a moed. Because even now, there is that kernel of simcha. That's why we daven for Rachim now on Yerushalayim. Because the Beis HaMikdash. Because as Rabbi Akiva says, on the Ruchnius level, it's still here, just waiting to bring it back down on the Gashmius level. Then we discuss the name of Yerushalayim, where it comes from. And we pointed out that from the very beginning, Yerushalayim had this connection with Ruchnius, with Kedusha. It's called Tzedek. And it's the Makom of Torah, the Makom of Hora. And that led us into a discussion of the true Avelus over Yerushalayim. The true Avelus over Yerushalayim is the Avelus over the Ruchnius that we've lost, the Ruchnius opportunities that we've lost in Yerushalayim. And that Rav Nevenzahl developed based on a beautiful, deep insight into the Benos Schafrad, that Chazal say they had a special chiba for the Aretz. What does that mean? They had a special love, they cherished in a special way the true Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael, that's the place of Kedusha, of Ruchnis, with the mitzvahs on a different level. And they wanted that to remain in their father's immediate, direct family. And that's what they were concerned about. That's the Chibas Aretz, and that's the connection to Yibum. And from that, we have to extrapolate and have that understanding of Chibas Aretz and apply to Yerushalayim in the base of Mikdash, and that will deepen our experience of Avelus that we're supposed to be having during these 3 weeks over the Churban Yerushalayim and Churban Abayis. These are some ideas that one can focus on during this time of Avelus over Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash. Okay, we'll stop here.